why you do it. And later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give half-truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. Now why you do it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Educate, they fabricate. And we sit back till it's too late.
The Radio Avenger.
Rick Adams is on.
Salutations, felicitations to all tonight on this program, the Thursday night edition of Rick Adams Uncensored on Republic Broadcasting Network. It's good to make your company once again, everyone. And tonight we are, as promised, going to return to the Edgar Steele case. And we've invited Mrs. Steele and her attorney, Wes Hoyt, to come back on the program. And I believe Cindy Steele is with us right now. Anyway, good evening to you, Cindy.
Good evening, Rick. Hello. Thank you.
Well, I don't know if I can say good evening, but I have to say something. So welcome back to our program. And I believe Wes will be coming on shortly as well. As we all know, the verdict was handed down in Edgar's case, guilty. On four counts, I believe. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. Or all four counts came back as guilty.
And, of course, that was a shocker to many. Some people, maybe it wasn't a shocker. How did it affect you? Were you anticipating a glimmer of hope in this verdict or not?
Well, you know, I always had to have a glimmer of hope because I would like to believe that somehow, you know, that justice will prevail. But I can tell you that anybody, including myself, that sat in that courtroom day in and day out of that trial had that glimmer dimming every single day because of, well, what I am calling a lynch job. You know, that jury was only given the prosecution side in it. You know, the full prosecution got out every dirty lie and underhandedness that they wanted to that jury. And when it came to the defense, we were shut up, and the jury did not get to hear anything that they needed to do in order to make the correct verdict of not guilty.
Yeah, I that doesn't come as a shocker or surprise to me. It's just amazing that that it happened the way it has happened with all of the contradictory evidence, and also the fact, I guess, that the experts having to do with the voice analysis could have exonerated him. And apparently, as we mentioned earlier in the other interview, that they were not allowed to testify at all. And that, too, was very strange, very suspicious. But right now I see the break is coming up, so let's take the break. And then, Cindy, we do have Wes, your attorney, Wes Hoyt, on the line as well, and we'll welcome him back to discuss this, folks. Stay with us. Rick Adams, Uncensored, here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
All right, if you want to know the truth, I don't much care for the time I was born into. It seems people aren't dying fast enough these days. They call upon science to invent new, more efficient weapons to depopulate the earth.
Right, here we are, folks. We have returned, and we are with Cindy Steele, people who need to know the facts. Of course, we recommend that you go to the Free Edgar Steele website, free-edgar-steele.com, and we'll see the case history here. The American Free Press, of course, last week's edition, front page story, guilty verdict stuns, and mentions the judge disallows testimony that could have exonerated Patriot lawyer. And that's Edgar Steele. We lost Wes a moment ago, Cindy, but we're trying to get him back up now on the air. So he should be here any moment. But the American Free Press is one of the few publications anywhere that has stood right there firm in the forefront of defending Edgar. And I know, you know, we met Edgar from 2003 in Washington at the Barnes Review American Free Press Conference. That was my first meeting with Edgar, so I was able to know him personally. And they've been very good at this. Now, I understand that Wes Hoyt is planning to call back in about 7 minutes. He was taken off for a moment. He had something come up, but he will join us. So let's continue, Cindy.
Well,
you and
so,
I.
Well, I've got plenty. You know, I have so much that we can't even. I can't even seem to get it out in one radio show.
Sure.
But the main thing that the biggest tragedy in that trial is the judge's ruling about the audio experts.
Mm-hmm.
First, we have the Daubert hearing where he denied what, well, he outright denied one of the audio experts. The other one, he said that he would open the door and reconsider it depending on what came out in trial. And the reasons were is because they didn't want to confuse the jury. They wanted them to just make up their minds based on the two people voices on those false recordings.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a blow. We went through with the trial, and on Monday night, the second week at the end of trial, the second week of trial, at the end of that day, McAllister put in put in a motion to have the expert allowed to testify. The judge on Monday night agreed and ruled that Dr. George Papson could testify. And because of Dr. George Papson's unavailability, the judge on Monday night agreed that he would allow him to do it through teleconferencing or video conferencing.
Okay.
I'm not exactly sure which.
Mm-hmm.
And then court was recessed. The attorneys and I went back, and we that night worked towards setting it up with Dr. George Papson to be able to testify in court via teleconference the next day. The next day we show up, and the prosecution gets up and spouts off a few words objecting to it, and like a puppet, the judge turned and ruled that he could not do it by teleconference. He had to be there in person. Then he gave us until 8:30 the next morning to
mm-hmm.
get Dr. George Papson there. Well, Dr. George Papson was in Bora Bora. And we went back, and three attorneys and myself
mm-hmm.
feverishly worked, trying our best to going out every stop to get George Papson within less than 24 hours to Boise, Idaho, from Bora Bora to meet the judge's deadline. Unfortunately, the best we could do was not 8:30 in the morning the next day, but was 4:20 in the afternoon of the next day.
Mm-hmm.
The attorneys went back to the judge and asked for a continuance with what we're talking 8 hours
mm-hmm.
in order to reasonably be able to get Dr. George Papson there. Papson was willing to come fly clear back and leave his wife in Bora Bora to be there. The judge would not budge, refused, and said if he wasn't there at 8:30 in the morning, he was not going to be allowed to testify. While this was all going on, we were also looking into having a private jet fly him. And we finally found one that we had a time frame of about 15 minutes to get the go-ahead, and had, which would have cost me $120,000, and through
mm-hmm.
friends, I was able to pull that up, and we were ready to give the go-ahead, and when we called back the plane, all of a sudden, the owner of the plane was refusing to fly Dr. George Papson from Bora Bora to the United States to get him there by 8:30. Thus, our window crux of it is if the judge would have made that ruling that he had to be there in person on that Monday night instead of teleconference, we could have had him there in time.
So, I mean, what do you assume? Can you assume anything here that might show quite a bit of, say, bias on the part of the judge? Would you conclude anything from this?
I think the judge was biased from day one, and
right.
I do conclude that the judge was biased because to allow the difference of 8 hours
mm-hmm.
to incriminate my husband wrongly is a crime in itself.
Yes, yes.
And frankly, the way that went down, I believe the only reason he sort of allowed that Papson could, I believe they knew where Papson was. I believe they knew it was impossible, and they were only trying to put on the pretense that the judge was being fair. Well, if the judge was being fair and wanted to make sure that my husband got a fair trial, first of all, he would have allowed both of our experts in to testify.
And that was my
At the Daubert hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, he would have given us that extra 8 hour time to get Papson there in order to testify. I honestly believe they knew that they didn't want those experts in because that would have shown the jury that those tapes were manipulated everybody was trying to get out to the jury.
If that were the case, just that alone would have blown the whole case of the prosecutors.
Well, you know, if people would have been there watching Assistant U.S. District Attorney Tracy Whalen, every time it looked like that our experts were going to get in, she was about ready to blow her top. And the only reason she would want to blow her top is because she knew it was going to blow their case out of the water, because those tapes are the only thing that incriminated him. Because
mm-hmm.
if the tapes are falsified, all the other charges go away.
Precisely.
And more so than I had before, and people must be hearing my voice, I am angry because that was a lynch job, and it is unfair, and they're taking my husband away.
Well, you have every right to be angry, and so do a whole number of people in this country. Whether they are friends of Edgar Steele or not has nothing to do with it. This is a case of justice and injustice. In this particular case, I, for the life of me, cannot imagine when a man's very life is on the line here. I mean, let's face it, this is a death sentence for him. How you could not possibly afford every opportunity, and we're not asking for Herculean efforts here, but a mere waiting for another 8 hours, how you could not accommodate that before the jurors is beyond me. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, it doesn't make sense, but as the judge stated in that courtroom, the reason he was not going to accommodate it is because he had a schedule that he needed to keep to, and he couldn't, and the trial had to be done by that Friday.
Oh, so in other words,
it was an inconvenience to him.
Mm-hmm. So a man's life and his reputation can be damned because of the judge's schedule and his particular calendar, then. That makes no sense whatsoever. Certainly no justice in that. It's just plain pig-headed.
Take a breath.
Stay where you are, Cindy. I understand Wes is ready to come in. When we come back after this next break, we'll bring up Wes Hoyt, and we'll continue. Folks, stay with us.
All right.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
How dare you call yourselves patriots and heroes? If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, you are just plain wrong. There is no freedom.
And we are back, folks, with the Edgar Steele case and verdict. And right now, we are joined by Wes Hoyt, Mrs. Steele's attorney. Hello there, Wes. Greetings.
Good to talk to you. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we got you now. I think they're breaking up a little bit, but we'll see if we can smooth the edges a little bit. You've been quite busy, and Mrs. Steele, Cindy just gave us the synopsis of this great injustice that apparently took place in the courtroom before this jury. And I would like to ask you for your ability, maybe your view, to tell us what you think actually took place as well, and your assessment of this whole process on that fateful day. What happened from your vantage point as an attorney?
Well, Rick, I believe it was a sham trial. And I say that because every objection that was raised by the government was sustained by the judge. And half the time, at least half the time, there was no good faith basis for the objection. For instance, when the when Cindy was testifying, she was asked what she was told by the FBI agent. Now, under the rules of evidence, the FBI agent is an agent for employee of the government. Therefore, any statement that he makes is called an admission. That's the rule. It's not hearsay because it's an exception to the hearsay rule, and it's an admission of a party, and it is admissible. So when Cindy was asked about the lies that were told by the FBI agent, immediately the government objected, and the judge sustained the objection, and he was completely wrong. And anybody could have been sitting up there on the bench and never even had any legal training, because all that you had to do is act like a monkey and just say, sustained, when the government objects. And, it was a sham. Let me tell you how bad a sham it was, Rick, if you don't mind me going on this way.
No, of course not.
Okay. One of the things was the testimony of the experts. And we went through a hearing to decide whether or not the experts could testify about a week before trial. And it was decided that one of the experts might be qualified if somebody raised an objection to authenticity of these phony recordings. Well, Cindy's testimony raised the objection, and the judge on Monday of the second week of trial ruled at the very end of the day. It was about 2:30. It was the end of that work day. And the judge ruled that the expert could testify on the following morning by video conference. And so if we had known on Monday afternoon that the judge was going to change his mind and say that the expert could only testify in person, on Monday afternoon, we could have galvanized, had him get on an airplane, which he was willing to do, and had him return to the United States for the testimony. But the judge, he fooled us. It was a dirty trick, Rick. And he told us, yes, he can testify by video conference. I was in the courthouse in the process of getting the video conference set up when I got word from the courtroom that the judge had changed his mind and ruled that he could only appear in person, and he was required to appear no later than 8:30 the following day, which at that point it was Tuesday morning that he issued that edict. And so on Wednesday morning at 8:30, and that's when the judge was asked to give an extra day to 8:30 on Thursday to give it adequate time to get him there, because on Tuesday we found out that the soonest we could get him there was by 4:30 Wednesday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pushing it, but we had connecting flights. Well, the judge just said no. What's happened in America today, mm-hmm, is that the presumption of innocence has been eliminated by what's called the presumption of governmental regularity and correctness. In other words,
yes,
presumption of guilt.
Clearly, that's the case here. Yeah.
Clearly, that's the case. And
I have no doubt, based on what you've just told me, and without even being in the courtroom, I know that what you say is true. Both of you have given the same statement, and I believe every word of it. I've seen it. I've seen the way these courtrooms are run.
Here's the trend, and here's what's so awful, okay? You go into the courtroom and set it with the presumption of innocence. You've got, mm-hmm, the presumption of guilt, and you are not allowed to prove your innocence because the judge excludes,
right,
your evidence of innocence. And that is a crime, Rick. That is criminal.
It is.
Conduct.
And now we've got to find out what we can do about that on appeal or whatever. When we come back, stay with us, folks. We'll come right back with our program.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny, and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Attention RBN listeners. The Freeze Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
BATF IRS
that. Here we are back again with our guest, Wes Hoyt, and of course Cindy Steele. And Wes, you just gave us a very apt description of what this process is all about today, how the government makes no bones about it now when they decide they're going to go after somebody. Between the RICO statutes and the post 9/11, a presumption of guilt in any of these prosecutions, the slight hint of terror or violence or some sort of murder-for-hire plot, all of a sudden everybody's ears are supposed to, get stiff and listen up to the government. And we've seen what the government has done in other cases, as you pointed out. The government has not been truthful, has not been honest. It has a vested interest in creating false cases, false caseloads, and it's building up quite a system of you know, really, if you will, a legal precedent that continues to grow for preventive prosecution and preemptive prosecution against innocent people. So my question is, at this early point, though I have other questions for you, given this reality that you feel rightfully, and Cindy, obviously, and others, myself included, that this judge was totally, completely out of order in this case in the way he handled it, what at this point can be done besides an appeal, if anything?
I'm glad you asked that, because that is the exclusive remedy available, is to, there's been a motion for new trial filed, and that motion for new trial will be ruled on in the next few days, I'm sure, and I predict that it'll be denied, and so therefore we'll be looking at the long range, which is a sentencing in late August, and undoubtedly it'll be a death sentence. It'll be longer than Edgar Steele's life expectancy, which means he'll die in prison, and that's a death sentence. And then at that point, the appeal process can start. You can't file your notice of appeal until the sentence has been entered. So there's no other legal means to pursue this.
Well, now let me ask you this. Going back to the trial, was there at any point on the part of his attorneys representing him to allow Edgar, that is, if he were willing, to actually take the stand in his own defense? Would he have done so? Did he want to do so? What was the status there?
Edgar, I did not talk to Edgar, but it was my understanding that he was champing at the bit, wanting to testify.
Right.
The problem was that his attorney was advising him that he should not testify because there was no evidence that the tapes were, the recordings had been fraudulently edited. And so the game that the government would have been able to play is play a segment of the tape and say, "Now, Mr. Steele, isn't that your voice?" And the answer would be different for each segment of the tape, because what we now believe, and Mr. Dennis Walsh, who is the expert who analyzed the tapes along with Dr. Papson, George Papson.
Right.
Mr. Walsh has taken the time. See, we were cut short because of the drunken public defender who was not defending Edgar, but rather just sitting on the case, and he held back the evidence, and it was February before we got our hands on those recordings. If I'd gotten those recordings in September or October of last year, all of that work would have been done. So here we were, scrambling to find somebody who was qualified to look at it for a March 7th trial. It was a miracle that we found people, but they didn't have the time to analyze it. Since the trial, Mr. Walsh has devoted many, many hours of his own personal time without compensation and he's come back to us and said these recordings were edited much more extensively than I ever thought in the first place. He said it's like every other word. They just kept patching together little, you know, one word and three words and just things from prior speeches and prior speaking, you know, recordings that this Fairfax character had made of Mr. Steele's voice. We don't know exactly where. Someday all of this will probably be known, but right now it's enough to know that both of these recordings for 2 days in a row are complete and utter fraud. There isn't any truth to them at all. And what counsel was worried about was that if Mr. Steele was to testify, they would play these parts where he supposedly was hiring and paying money and to have his wife killed and not to be a paraplegic and all these things. And so the idea was he would just drive it home to the jury. Well, what the hey? The tapes were a part of the case, and the jury was going to get to hear them in the jury room. So why? I don't know. It's a tough call.
Well, I don't know. Exactly. I mean, that still doesn't make any sense. And I know I'm here sitting here now. I'm just giving you my own particular view on this with no bias either way. I'm just thinking in terms of fairness and judiciousness that when it comes to something of this nature, such a serious charge, a life sentence in jail on charges that are very serious charges, these four charges that were brought up, I don't care what it takes. If I were the judge, I obviously would do everything in my power to assure Mr. Steele a fair trial. I don't care who it is. You want to make sure that they have every opportunity to adequately defend themselves. And if it means delaying the trial for an extra half a day or 4 hours, 6 hours, or a day or two, till we can have reasonable assurance of getting experts in here to dispute the government's case, then what would be the problem? What is the problem? Unless, in fact, as you say, or you believe, and I believe, that this judge was anything but impartial, and that's putting it mildly, obviously. And this
well, Rick, yeah. Rick, your mm-hmm. problem is you're speaking in a 20th century voice.
Yeah.
You're speaking in the past. When I started practicing law in 1970, that's the way things were. The problem is that we went through this huge transition, and now it's no longer that way. It's all about politics, and we're going to put innocent people in jail because the American prison industry needs bodies. These prisons have to pay for themselves, Rick. And so you have to have enough bodies drawing tax dollars to pay for them so they can pay back the revenue bonds to the international bankers. Everything that's going on today goes right back to the international bankers. They have created misery for
that
all of us Americans.
Absolutely the case, but I would go one step further. And I do believe that the whole judicial landscape has also been altered by the same click, this group, the Synagogue of Satan, that I refer to as, including the Chertoffs and the Homeland Security types, and this post 9/11 group that perpetrated 9/11, and we know who perpetrated it now, the Israeli government and its assets here in the United States, the Zionim. They have a vested interest in persecuting patriots and going after people who might stand in their way. See, this is what I believe. I believe there's a bigger agenda than just the prison industry. That's the way I'm looking at it. Now, Cindy, you probably wanted to jump in between here. So if you have something now you'd like to say, go ahead, please.
Well, I was going to make the comment that it was like the judge was directing that courtroom for the exact verdict that he wanted, and that was that my husband was guilty. Because, not only did he deny our experts, but he denied every single witness for the defense, including mine, for me to be able to testify to facts that I knew, to the fact and the facts that the government, the FBI, was doing nothing but lying to me.
Mm-hmm.
But they even continued that on the stand. The special agent Michael Sokka got up there and told one lie after another about me and about my husband. And when it came to me testifying, I wasn't allowed to testify and show him for the liar that he was.
That's pretty blatant.
It is very blatant.
That's what I'm talking. The word is kangaroo court.
Mm-hmm.
He even took words out of my... He even took words from the interview that I gave the FBI and turned it around in order to suit their case and turned it into lies because it suited what they were after, and they turned my statements into lies. Made it look like I said things that I did not say.
Let me also, at this point, interject, just from a layman's point of view. These questions sound a little bit trite or strange or silly. Forgive me, but I'm just taking a man-on-the-street approach. What about the jurors themselves and the foreman of the jury? Do they have any conscience whatsoever? Did they exhibit any concern whatsoever when they witnessed this this sham?
Well, here's the problem. They put off, the government puts off the aura of respectability. That's the pretense that they want everybody to believe that they are respectable, that they're honorable, and because you have the pomp and circumstance of the court, and you know, the jurors come in and they're confined initially in a room, and then they have to go up and file like school children, and they sit in the courtroom until they're selected, and they have all of this Elizabethan pageantry going on, and they begin to buy into the system. And if you are prohibited from presenting baseline evidence of the fraud, Rick, there is no way that a jury is ever going to understand what's going on. They're just not going to get it because they're not going, you know, you're denied, if you are denied the evidence, if the evidence is excluded, then you can't prove your case, you can't prove your innocence, you are going to prison. There's no way around it.
Yeah, but even so, I mean, I still find that strange and hard to believe, only because if I were on that jury, okay, and without even having the knowledge that I have now of corruption, just my simple, you know, sense of fairness would mitigate that I ask questions of the juror, of the judge, and demand to know what it is that's going on as to why we are not being permitted to hear the testimony of Mrs. Steele, to hear the experts. Why not allow and accommodate enough time for all of the evidence to come in? I mean, just a simple sense of fairness there would mandate that I, at the very least, not be intimidated by the prosecution, not be intimidated by the judge, just out of simple fairness. Wouldn't you think that would be the case, though?
Of course. But the problem is, Rick, that you're speaking in a 20th century voice. You are not talking about the 21st century and the fraud that we are undergoing, and we're living under the umbrella of fraud. Everything about the U.S. government is a fraud. That's,
yeah.
If you start a given.
So if that's the case, and I'm a juror, and I object and say, look, I object to sitting on this panel. I just don't want to continue because I don't like what's going on here. What happens then?
Well, if you do that, then what they'll do is put on a bunch of namby-pambies who will sit there and listen to the so-called government's evidence and come out with a government verdict every time. So if you acquiesce or abdicate your duty as a juror and you fail to serve, Rick, then whoever is up to bat and on trial is going to get convicted, because remember Carol Asher? Does that name mean anything to you? She works for Jack McLam. She was a nun, and she was on a jury, and she has the same mindset that we do. She believes in the presumption of innocence. And because of that, the other jurors complained about her that believed in the government presumption of guilt, and she was prosecuted, get this, for perjury. She was a 14-year prison sentence because she voted for somebody to be not guilty. It was such a fraud, and I defended her. And here's this woman. She sat on the jury, former nun. She had retired as a nun and gone out and become a secretary and participated in life. And she got called to jury service, and she felt that this young man that was charged with some, in fact, it was drug charges, that there was no evidence to support his guilt. And she, that's what she told the other jurors, and she said, we have to presume that he's innocent. And so they brought her to try, to what they call a preliminary hearing.
And on what basis? On what basis?
They said that when she was in the voir dire examination, in other words, when the juror qualification questions took place, we can do this later.
All right. Well, I'm very curious now. You're opening up quite a door, and this is very good because we need to know everything that we can about these procedures. We'll come right back.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, the online store. It's a featured product.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
See, the vigilantes are a mob. These badges make us legal. We're the law. And the law has the right to shoot up a mob.
Speaking with attorney Wes Hoyt and Cindy Steele, wife of Edgar Steele. So my question, you were just about to answer, Mr. Hoyt, and go ahead. Please see if you can answer my question that I've just raised to you regarding on what basis this particular juror was threatened with going to jail herself.
All right. Carol Asher was charged with not disclosing to the judge that she had a, quote, bias. And, of course, her bias was in favor of the presumption of innocence. In other words, you, the government, have to prove to me, said she, that this person is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. Otherwise, I'm going to presume that they're innocent and they're going to walk. And so she didn't, quote, disclose that to the judge when she was asked those preliminary questions. When the whole group comes up, sometimes there's 20 to 30 people that sit in a courtroom, and they whittle it down to 12. And so as a result, she didn't bother to mention it. The judge says, is there anybody here? They were sworn, they took an oath that they would tell the truth. Is there anybody here that has a bias? She didn't step up and say, I'm biased in favor of the presumption of innocence. That was her crime.
That's not a bias at all, though.
I understand that. I agree totally. But what I'm telling you is from the government point of view, that was what she was accused of, and that was called perjury. In other words, when she took the oath...
Yeah, I understand the lies, but the thing is, at this point, then, why have any trial at all? Let's just hang them. I mean, really, what's the point of impaneling, a jury pool?
The only reason that they have trials and they go through the sham is so that the population who is not awakened will sit back and say, well, see, they're having trials, they're calling jurors of your peers, they're, you know, what's wrong with that? I mean, people that don't really analyze or look at the system are fooled by this sham.
And the jury convicted him, so he must be guilty.
No, I know. I know all of the lines here of this info, but still, it just, what can we say at this point about that? We have a kangaroo courtroom. We have a total setup, framed up charges to begin with, and then anybody at any time could be in the same position. All they have to do is just send the agents there and arrest you, make a claim, and then hold a mock trial, basically. Make these claims, and who is there to defend you? You could have witnesses, and if the judge does not allow witnesses, what good would that do?
Rick, here's what you have to understand. It is impossible to prove a negative. What I mean by that is, the government knows this. If the government accuses you or Edgar Steele or anyone else of a crime, and they bring in these false witnesses, and it's impossible to prove that you didn't do it. You can prove different. You can prove like the recordings are forged or they've been edited. When the government swears up and down that they are one continuous recording with no editing, you can discredit some of their evidence, but you cannot prove. Once they make the accusation, that's why it's in the Ten Commandments, that thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, because the Lord knew and understood that once somebody makes a false claim against you, you can't prove that you didn't do it.
And that's why the burden has to be on the state. And it is not anymore.
No, it's
not. All right. Let's take a 1-minute break. Hour number two of the program will be right up, and we'll continue. Rick Adams, Uncensored.